Welcome to St. Louis on the Air. I'm Don Marsh. We're in the middle of the Medicare open enrollment period. What does that mean and what's at stake? We'll be talking about that in a few minutes. But first, St. Louis poet Henry Goldkamp raised a lot of eyebrows in the summer of last year with his What the Hell is St. Louis Thinking project. He placed dozens of typewriters around town and invited people to express what they were thinking. 5,000 did. These thoughts were always intended to be put into book form, and now they have been. Not surprisingly, the name of the book is What the Hell is St. Louis Thinking? We have the answer to that question thanks to the book compiled by the man behind the project, Henry Goldkamp. And he joins us in studio to talk about his findings.
That's right. Thanks for having me here.
Yeah, it's great to have you here. Now, the first question I have is, in this day and age, where the heck did you find 40 typewriters?
Oh, they're stashed around in strange parts of the areas. You know, Craigslist is always such a beautiful medium to find what you thought no one would ever want. And that was one of a very large way of going about that, was just asking sort of on a public forum like Craigslist, hey, got this idea for a project. It's kind of goofy, but can I have some typewriters on loan, whatever? Most of the people said, it's getting so dusty in my garage, I don't want it anyway. If you want to come pick it up, it's yours.
Yeah, they really are pretty much obsolete today,
yes,
or are they
yes.
not? Henry, what were you looking for with this project specifically?
I don't think I know the answer to that question, honestly. It just kind of was one of those ideas that you have as an artist. And you say, yeah, I think there's probably something to this in the future. And you can't help but just do piece by piece. Okay, well, let's ask a certain business to put one of these writing stations in it. Then let's see what happens. Let's see if it actually works. And then all of a sudden it started picking up steam. And in terms of the project's question that it poses itself, I don't know if we really got an answer. I think that might even be better, because it kind of just recharged the mystery of the happiness that goes on here in the city.
And yet you always had in mind that this would become the book that it has become, or which will be released on the 22nd, is that correct?
That's correct, the 22nd of this month.
Yeah. You always had in mind that this would be a book.
Oh, yeah. That was kind of the end goal for it, was thinking we could sort of do a best of compilation of all the thousands of entries that we got. And, of course, that took a lot of sifting through, because, as we were talking earlier on the show, some of them were really great, but it's, you know, there's no other word for it, but a lot of them were stupid. Yeah. and so you got to sift through those ones. But then every once in a while, there was one that might fall under that category of stupid, and you're like, well, this is almost poetic, though.
Yeah, there is really quite a mixture of what you have just indicated, some that weren't that were stupid, for lack of a better word. But some were very philosophical. Some were very touching.
Yeah.
I mean, really, stories can be told in a very few words, can't they?
Yeah, it is. It's almost like an ongoing flash fiction of sorts. You get this little glimpse of someone's life. I was thinking of one of the entries today that went along the lines of, I thought yesterday was going to be one of the best days of my life. It turned out to be one of the worst. And then a little further down, this person just says, I hide it well. And you're thinking, like, was it a job interview? Or could it be if something as strong? Was it a wedding? Was it her wedding that she was thinking was going to be amazing? And now she just, I mean, it could be anything. So it's, like I said, it's sort of charged with this mystery of, and I think St. Louis kind of has this stigma towards it, that we're all very reserved Midwesterners. Mm-hmm. You know, we keep to ourselves kind of thing. But this is just meant to, among many other reasons, capture that and show how beautiful that is.
The one you just recited is interesting, because I've gone through the book on a couple of times, just flipping through it.
Mm-hmm,
it's not necessarily something you start on page one and read it all.
No. That's nice to be diverse like that. It's very easy to just set this on your coffee table and open it up anywhere and kind of carry almost like a fortune cookie for a day, you know?
I have one here that I'll read, because it just it struck me. You know, you could actually make write a whole book or make a movie out of some of these things. And here's one interesting. Every once in a while, life sends a wave that knocks you over, but all you can do is stand up and appreciate that you're on the beach.
Right.
I love it.
It is. Puts a beach theme to it. When you know, just the broader sense of, as much as you can complain about this life and what things, maybe things aren't going your way, I mean, thank thank God or thank whoever that you're still breathing oxygen, you know. Yeah. I still have the ability to look over this station and at you and at this studio, and we're all very lucky to have the opportunity to breathe.
Absolutely. Were you surprised that you had 5,000 people respond to this?
I think it only really got to that point because the big surprise came when the press covered as much as it did, and I guess it was just the typewriter thing that they were so befuddled by. But I definitely didn't expect it to go this far. I definitely did not expect it to be talking to you here now, and I didn't really expect it to maybe make it as far as a book. You know, that was the ideal, and this is one of the rare instances as an artist where you can say, I finally made it to my ideal location and destination.
Where does it go from here?
Oh, that's a question that I've been asked before, too. A lot of people have asked, you know, maybe about doing it in different cities. I will say that I'm not sure. In terms of that, I do know that if I were to do this in other cities, it would be done a lot differently. And it would not be 40-plus typewriters around the city driving around like a madman trying to replace ribbons and remember where they are and keep records of all that. But it would probably be a much more relaxed, I have a typewriter and I'll just kind of go from, you know, nail salon to the bar to the restaurant and say, hey, do you want to have in on this project? Which would be a little different, though. It would sort of lead to, you know, that very popular Facebook page, Humans of New York, where the photographer takes the pictures. Mm-hmm. So if I were there with the typewriters, it would cause something different because I'm watching them. You know, the way that this project, What the Hell Was St. Louis Thinking, was set up is they weren't being watched. They were all by themselves. They, you know, sometimes, albeit they're in public places, they could kind of find their own time and their own place. Instead of being, you know, those interviews by the gentleman that does Humans in New York, they feel so prompted, you know, because he can kind of guide him through an interview to get those very, and albeit magical, answers. I mean, that's a very powerful project that he has going on, but he can kind of manipulate it a little bit. This is like untouched, you know.
And it's also anonymous. If you're kind of hovering around people, that anonymity might get lost.
Right. Yeah. Right. And that was, as you said, a very big difference.
You know, it is said and has been said by many that St. Louis has something of an inferiority complex.
Yeah.
Did that show itself in any way in the
Definitely.
Things that people were writing?
Definitely. Well, there was actually a really great entry mentioning that, but just in general. Yeah, people saying, I don't know, I'll move out of here as soon as I can, you know, that they're stuck. You know, the not so nice names of flyover country and how the only, besides maybe Chicago, and that's maybe Chicago, the only places that matter are on the coasts and things like that. But they definitely shine through. And that's kind of what, it's separated into three parts. And that's kind of what part one was for, the kind of the negative aspects of our own doing, of our own talking. Because if you're in that mentality of, oh, this place sucks. You know, I don't want to be here, Midwestern boy. There's bigger things out there. I want to go explore the world. And I feel like a lot of us start with that mentality. And then part two is sort of the entries and submissions that start to sort of question that. Well, is that right? Or maybe is there something else going on here in this city that I'm missing myself? And so this is on me. And then part three is that mysterious happiness that once, you know, because I know many, many people that have sort of figured it out in what St. Louis is in their own individual way. And those are the people you see walking down the street that are smiling and smiling at you.
And not everybody who contributed were St. Louisans. There were people from out of town as well.
Yes, every once in a while. And it was more, you know, I thought that should be let in too, because that's just as of an interest to wonder what a foreigner of sorts of St. Louis coming in. What's the impression? You know, what are you thinking? And most of the time, it was good. People were thinking that it was a pretty neat town.
Was there any kind of a thread throughout these things that you could find, or were they just all over the charts?
Well, I kind of made the thread during the compiling. I said in the beginning introduction of the book that I kind of wanted to make it into a conversation where you can't really tell where one voice ends and the next begins. Because there were common themes talking about the parents, or, you know, there was a lot of talk about beer. There was a lot of talk about, you know, crime, education system.
Poop.
Poop. Yes, that was referring back to the stupid responses that we'd mentioned earlier. Yeah, just a blank page with nothing on it but the natural question, have you pooped today? You know, and that's just the reason I had to put one of those in is because that was, I can't even tell you how many mentions of poop there were. I mean, at least 200. I mean, that was definitely the popular word for this project.
You know, I guess that says a lot about something. Perhaps we ought not to delve too deeply into it, but
well,
that's
you
crazy.
Know, people mention a lot about food too. You know, yeah. I think it's just what's on your mind. If you're hungry or have something else going on, naturally, that's just what's on your brain.
Right. You know, one of the phrases I came up with throughout the book was "you could have it all." That kept popping up.
That was all. Yeah, that was kind of where we branched out the most in part two, where I got this really, this submission, and he kind of almost wrote it like lyrics of a song, and said, you know, I want to live in a town. I'm quoting as best I can here. I want to live in a town where you could have it all. Security signs in the yard, and I don't mind using a club in my car. Street side parking. I want to live in a city where you get shot, but you don't get shot that much. Mm-hmm. And then he goes on to say, you could have it all. You could have it all. You could have it all in the city. Yeah. And that just sort of summed up so many of the other art. And so I just thought it'd be kind of fun to like make it into a montage of just keep repeating that. You could have it all. You could have it all. Fix the schools. My neighbors are on crack. Everybody's going crazy. You could have it all. Oh. You know, and just keep doing that over and over again is kind of how we set that up.
Got to take a break. We're talking with Henry Goldkamp. He's a local poet, and his book, which will be released on the 22nd of this month, with a little more than a week away, What the Hell is St. Louis Thinking? It is part of the project that he instituted in August of 2013, in which he stashed 40 typewriters around the St. Louis area and invited people to tell him what they were thinking, and they did. We'll come back and continue our conversation. If you'd like to come into it, feel free to do so at 382-8255, that's 382-TALK. Send us an email at talk at stlpublicradio.org. Or if you'd like to send us a tweet, do that at STL on air. If you'd like to send us a typewritten message, good luck. Henry Goldkamp, in just a minute. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. Hello again. Welcome back to our conversation with Henry Goldkamp, a local poet who is responsible for the What the Hell is St. Louis Thinking Project. Summer of 2013, he put 40 typewriters around town and asked people to express their thoughts about St. Louis. They did, and now a book of that same title is coming out on November 22nd. Henry, of course, is with me in studio. Henry, what about placement of these typewriters? Do you think he had a fair representation of city population?
I think it was as fair as we could have made it with the time that we had it, because that was a early on constructive criticism that I got actually through one of the boxes at City Museum. And they basically just stated that I don't think that this is going to represent true St. Louis because you have it in too many similar areas in terms of the demographics that are around there. And a lot of the critical entries that we got, we ended up putting in the book because it kind of showed the progress of the project itself. So after that happened, we kind of made this effort to try and put at least one of these typewriter stations into every single one of St. Louis City's neighborhoods. And we didn't quite reach that mark, but we were damn close. And it wasn't, you know, it wasn't fun. It wasn't fun to have to do that, and because there are areas that I didn't want to go to, and especially testing the limits of, you know, don't ask me how, but I know of certain crack houses and where they are. And you try and figure out a way to get one in there, you know, and because that's going to be pretty interesting. Or calling up certain establishments on the east side and wondering if a club bouncer wouldn't mind looking over it as their intoxicated patrons go to spend their hard-earned dollars for, you know, not the best way to spend your money. And, of course, neither of those worked out, you know. Get out of here, kid. But besides that, there was some we got really lucky that we got that entry and that it hit me so hard that I took it to heart. And then all these things branched up. So we started doing it in the homes. We invited people to take typewriter stations into their homes instead of just businesses, and they were able to go on, and they would pass along the typewriter stations themselves, like from their neighbor or to somebody that lived across all the way over into the county. And then we also opened up a P.O. box because there was a lot of people from neighboring counties that said that they wanted it in, right? And that's fair, but I can't start driving all the way out to the county, too. I'm already driving all over the place here. So we opened up a P.O. box for them. And lo and behold, none of the county people that were complaining ever sent a letter, unfortunately. But we did get some letters from people on the east side, along with some mysterious letters from others that made the book, and it was really interesting.
Mysterious letters? What do you mean by that?
Well, the one that definitely hit home the most was there was one. It's sort of in the section in the beginning of people really struggling with their sexuality, you know, talking to their parents about it, and this and that. And so it was just a small envelope. And it was from somewhere out in Illinois, and you open it up, and it was handwritten, and it was it looked to be a small boy's handwriting, and it was just him lamenting about his inability or his discomfort with coming out of the closet and letting his parents know that he's gay. And it was short, but so powerful to see that, you know, it just, and I think he ended it with just, please, God, no, help. You know, and it's just like, all you can do is just hope for him that maybe this helped in some way, that releasing it a little bit more out into the world. But hopefully he can do that on his own individual basis. But
there again, that's one of those things that you can envision an entire play being made out of out of the one comic.
Sure. And it's interesting, you know, it's like all these things are so different, kind of what we're talking about, all across the board of the genre of thought, but also sort of like who they're addressing it to. Like, is that just for was that for me to read, just to have a stranger read it? Mm-hmm. I think some people are just typing things just for themselves. There's other ones where they are typing as if to St. Louis, like all of St. Louis, almost like it's some sort of a demigod. And, you know, St. Louis, please just give me one reason to stay and I'll never leave. Mm-hmm. And acting as if it's some larger entity than just simply a city, which I fall into the category of believing most cities are. And that's an important reminder as well.
You know, all of this reminds me of something, a project that Ernest Hemingway did at one time, and that was the one-sentence short story.
Oh, yeah.
And the one that comes to mind is For Sale, Baby Shoes,
Never Worn. Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of like that.
It is.
Is there one out of all these things, you've been through them, you've probably been through them more than once, is there one that stands out that affected you personally, having read it?
Oh, well, I was mentioning earlier about how the critical ones really upset me, you know, but that you can't help that. As an artist and anybody who's been through anything that's been mentioned, you know, on an internet article, which isn't that hard to do these days. But I think we basically started with it, if I remember correctly, and I'll read it real quick. It's the second entry. And then it was handwritten, which I was already annoyed that they didn't even do it on the typewriter. And it just says, this project is a complete fail. The machine doesn't work. No ink. No maintenance. Artist doesn't give a blank. Got the publicity he was looking for. And, like, just left it there for me to find, and I was livid for a week that anybody could think this, you know. But it's so stupid that you think about these things. So then it was like, you know, the best way to combat that was to incorporate those into the book itself and to show all aspects of, you know. I think that this is far from a masterpiece. I just think that this is something that should be done, and I think it came out looking pretty neat.
It's an interesting project in that it's certainly something that would inspire a conversation. If you sat down with somebody and just opened the book and started reading them, there's no way you could avoid not having a good conversation about
it. And the people that, you know, discovering that, you know, maybe one of theirs made it into it, you know, or maybe wanting to share that with somebody, or maybe some of the darker things discovering that I chose to incorporate that in, and maybe wanting to make sure nobody sees the book because they might be able to figure it out who it was.
Much humor?
I would say so, yeah.
Yeah.
I would say there were some really good ones.
Anything come to mind?
Well, there was actually just talking about that entity of the demigod and things like that, of how you were treating St. Louis. This one was a really interesting selection. So I believe it is time for me to move on from St. Louis. My relationship with this town has been remarkably similar to an abusive boyfriend. I'm constantly defending St. Louis, saying things like, you don't see us when we are alone, or you just have to get to know it better. Meanwhile, I'm showing up to social functions with a black eye and broken collarbone because St. Louis pushed me down the stairs again last night. So I've been attempting to find reasons to say, but all I have are my friendships. Friendships which are rapidly disintegrating all around me. Old friends who are splitting. People who have begun behaving in ways I would rather not be a part of. And I can't quite bring myself to go. Give me a reason to stay, St. Louis. Just one, and I will never leave. And so it starts with this humor of this metaphor of, you know, I'm sort of picturing that line, St. Louis pushed me down the stairs again last night, of her or him thinking, I got drunk again and stumbled down the stairs, you know, and like calling that St. Louis, calling any experience that St. Louis. So I do find, even though it's very serious, I think there is a dark humor behind that.
It's also very well written.
Right. And which is that was definitely a lucky one to get, because a lot of times they're not going to be as smooth and well written, you know. And
were many of them of that length? I mean, that's longer than most of them.
That is, I would say most of them were four sentences or less. Most maybe just one line, but even then, those had a lot of power. You know, there was one page that just simply said, "Fix the hood." That's it.
Fix the hood. And they weren't talking about a part of a car.
No. Too much money or too much Social Security spending on dope. That was one line.
I saw a lot of things like that, a lot of concerns about the personal environment around town.
Mm-hmm.
Did you get that impression?
Oh, plenty.
There was a lot of that?
Plenty.
What was your winnowing process? You took 5,000 of these, and I don't know how many are in the book, but it's not 5,000.
No, it's maybe a little over, I don't know, 350 or something.
Mm-hmm. How did you weed?
Well, it's just, you know, you knew, it's, I guess, like, when making a tapestry or something, you want the right thread. And so there is a certain, I agree with you in that you can open it up to any page and you could take something from it. But the way that I curated it was meant to sort of have an ebb and a flow and match up to a certain thing, to a certain flow. I'll try and find a good example of that.
Shall I hum or whistle while this process is going on?
No. It's just, I'll just play it off the top of my head. But a guy, and it was one of the longer passages, he's going on and on about thoughts and how I think, you know, most times people, this dark, harsh world they live in, it's an attitude, it's a choice they've made to live there, you know, and they go on and on. And then he ends it with the line, you know, as a man thinks, so he is. And then at the bottom of that, we had a completely separate entry that just said, I don't need no mother effing man. And that kind of just, so this lofty philosophical thing just instantly got cut in half by an attitude of, well, you know, why does it have to be a man? Like, you know, shut up.
We have a tweet here that Anjanette is asking, which neighborhood submitted more statements and were open to the project? Was there one place where there was more action than another?
Oh, I would definitely say just because we originally started in the Central West End, that was a very big one. And in as much as we would try to go to the north side, it just wasn't as, like, participated in. You know, a lot of times we would set up my assistant and I, Robert Rowe, would set up in a park, and it'd just be more like, what are these people doing here? You know, and it was almost had, like, a bit of suspicion. I had one in a nail salon in Baden, and then I tried to do it at a grocery store down the street, and the owner of the grocery store wouldn't let me do it because he felt it was very suspicious, you know, so things like that. So it was definitely more of those neighborhoods that aren't fully white or fully black or other whatever other nationality, but sort of those melting pots areas that we have now.
But basically didn't run into much of that.
No.
No. Okay. No. And this got started through a Kickstarter campaign, did it not?
It did. Well, I mean, the idea, the finalization of the book got started through Kickstarter. Mm. It was all started out of my own pocket, the actual project.
What did it cost?
Well, all total, about $8,000. Actually, about $9,000, if you consider. I had to, you know, because I made the boxes, bought the paint, made the signage, paid the graphic designer, paid to get these made. And it's hard to make a book. It turns out, yeah, it's hard to make a book. That was the lesson that we've learned and are still learning.
The hard part comes now, selling the
book. Right, yeah, I know. I was just about to say, it's not even over.
One final question for you, Henry Goldkamp. What did you learn, or what changed about your attitude towards St. Louis, having gone through all of this? If anything, perhaps nothing changed. But do you find that it influenced you in any way?
I keep mentioning it, and it's just sort of this mystery of the happiness that sits here. You know, I walk down the street, and I smile, and it's just kind of like I feel this air and this energy of a city that is moving forward and is moving up, even in light of recent situations. I mean, there's some sort of a resurgence happening in the center of this country, and it's if you can catch it, whatever device you use to feel it, if you can get that out there and feel it, it feels really, really nice. And if you want to try, you know, my book is a means to start feeling that, we'd love you to. It should be around shops and stuff on this coming 22nd. You can get it on Amazon and all those other good places, Left Bank Book, Subterranean, Star Clipper, and The Loop. Yeah.
What a great positive way to end our discussion here. I'm so glad that you came out with that feeling.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
a feeling, given what has been going on, as you mentioned.
Sure.
It's a feeling that we need to catch that wave and ride it as far as
we
can.
Well, I think you'll also find reading the book that something like that was sort of bound to happen. There's a couple of prophetic remarks, you know, a year before anything like that happened, and it's interesting.
I've certainly enjoyed Henry Goldkamp, what I have seen. I want to thank you very much for being with us. The title of the book, in case no one caught it, is What the Hell is St. Louis Thinking? Catchy title.
Thank you very much for being with us.
Coming up, what you need to know during the Medicare open enrollment period. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU.